They've called it broken for decades. And they're right, but what they won't tell you is that the US immigration system isn't broken by accident. It's been engineered into a mess, by both parties, across administrations, with a toxic combo of incompetence, political cowardice, and strategic cruelty. From Reagan's amnesty deal to Biden's app-based border management, the US has ping-ponged between pretending to fix immigration and actively making it worse. Legal pathways are a bureaucratic maze. Enforcement is scattershot, inconsistent, and often performative. And when all else fails, we slap on another executive workaround that does just enough to kick the can down the road. Meanwhile, the result? A ballooning undocumented population, record high border crossings, legal limbo for millions, and a population more confused than ever about who's allowed here and why. This isn't about open borders or Fortress America. It's about the facts and the 40 years of political theater that brought us here. Revolving light TLDR. Pick your flavor of chaos. This one's long, like 40 years of bipartisan incompetence long. So if don't want to read the whole thing, you can pick your own adventure by clicking one of the sections below, Exploding Head. What counts as legal immigration? It's not what you think. Spoiler. Most people fall out of legality, they don't sneak in. Brain, still confused? Let's kill the dumbest myths and point fingers where they belong. No pedestrians, asylum, parole, CBP1, legal-ish, stable? Hell no. Welcome to the twilight zone of US immigration. Receipt 1M legal immigrants per year? Sure, but we've also got 13 million plus in limbo. And most didn't cross the border illegally. People holding hands. Who's actually here? Hint. They're already working, paying taxes, and living next door. Puzzle piece. Why don't they just come legally? Because there's no damn line. Unless you're rich or Canadian. Fire. Why they're fleeing? Because we helped light the match. Then punished the people trying to escape the fire. What the hell even is legal immigration? Lawful versus unauthorized. Know the difference or be played. Here's the trick politicians use. They scream about illegal immigrants without ever explaining how stupidly easy it is to fall out of legal status in the first place. There are two basic immigration categories, lawful and unauthorized. Dot. Sounds simple. It's not. Lawful means you've got government permission, temporarily or permanently. This includes lawful permanent residents, LPRs, aka green card holders. They can live and work here permanently. 1. Dot. Non-immigrants. Temporary visitors, tourists, students, guest workers. 3. Dot. Refugees and asylees. People granted protection based on persecution. 5. Dot. Unauthorized means you're in the country illegally, but here's the kicker. You don't have to sneak across the border to get there. You can come in legally, overstay a visa, and boom, you're out of status and accumulating unlawful presence. 7. That starts the countdown to bans. 180 plus days out of status equals 3-year ban if you leave. 1 plus year equals 10-year ban. Re-enter after that, you're permanently barred unless you qualify for a waiver. 7. Minors and asylum seekers don't always accrue unlawful presence, but the rules are as clear as mud and easy to break. So when politicians bleat about illegal aliens, remember, most people don't sneak in, they fall out. Bureaucracy does the dirty work. How do you get in legally? Spoiler. You probably don't. There are several official ways to immigrate legally, but most people aren't eligible for any of them. Here's why. Pathway. Basis. Status granted. Family based. Relative of citizen or LPR. Green card. Employment based. Job offer, skills, or big dollar. Green card. Diversity lottery. Born in the right country plus educated. Green card. Refugee, asylum, fleeing persecution, protection, then green card after 1 year. TPS, DACA. From a disaster zone or arrived as a kid. No real status, just temporary protection. U.S. immigration pathways, legal, slow, and mostly out of reach. Family visas? Backlogged for decades in some cases. Employment-based? Good luck unless you've got an advanced degree or $1 million to throw around. The lottery? Literally a crapshoot. And asylum? You better have airtight documentation or be ready to wait in a tent city for years. The legal pathways are narrow and riddled with landmines. No wonder millions end up in limbo. Share of U.S. green cards by category, FY 2023, family-based, 66%. Employment-based, 26%. Diversity Visa, 6%. Asylum, Refugee Adjustments, 10%. Other, 2%. Source, DHS Yearbook of Immigration Statistics. Distribution of Legal Permanent Residency Pathways in FY2023. Family-based immigration remains the largest category. Source, DHS. Life in Limbo, The Immigration Twilight Zone. Asylum, Parole, CBP1, Legal? Kinda. Stable? Hell no. There's a whole slice of U.S. immigration that lives in purgatory. Not quite legal, not quite illegal, just bureaucratically suspended in air. Dot. We're talking asylum applicants, parolees, CBP1 users, TPS and DACA recipients. All these people are here, but not really here. Their status is like Schrodinger's green card. Maybe it'll materialize, maybe they'll get deported mid-process. Depends on the day. Asylum. Say the magic words and hope you don't get lost. Asylum sounds simple. Flee persecution, request protection. In reality, it's a legal obstacle course with a multi-year waitlist. You can apply two ways. Affirmatively with USCIS, if you're not already in removal proceedings. 5. Defensively, if you're already in removal and trying to avoid deportation. 19. As of mid-2022, the U.S. had 915,000 pending defensive asylum cases, dash, 720,000 pending affirmative asylum applications. 19. That backlog's bigger than the population of San Francisco, and growing fast. While you wait, you can't be deported. Maybe you can work, but you can't leave. You can't plan. You can't sleep easy. Welcome to the, not illegal but not welcome, club. Humanitarian parole. AKA, temporary until it isn't. Parole is the Swiss Army knife of immigration policy. It lets DHS let people in without admitting them. Yes, really, they get no formal status, dash, temporary presence, dash, maybe work authorization. 22. It's used for Afghans, Ukrainians, Venezuelans, Haitians, and more. People in crisis who don't fit any other box. Biden's shiny new CHNV program. Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela, which requires a U.S. sponsor and entry through CBP 124. Dot. It's not asylum. It's not a visa. It's a band-aid with a time limit. Dot. Feature. Asylum. Humanitarian parole. Legal status. Yes, if granted. No, entry without admission, work authorization. After 180 days. Often immediate. Path to green card. Yes, after 1 year, none. Duration. Indefinite. Pending case. Typically 1 to 2 years. How to apply? Must be on U.S. soil. Outside U.S., via app plus sponsor. Asylum versus humanitarian parole. One gives protection. The other gives paperwork purgatory. Source. USCIS. And like all temporary things in the U.S. immigration system, it might just stretch on forever, or get yanked with zero warning. CBP1. Border Management by App Store. CBP1 is a mobile app that migrants must use to request appointments at U.S. ports of entry. Sounds high-tech. In reality, it's glitchy, slow, and overwhelmed. 25. Here's the deal. You can't just walk up to the border anymore. You schedule a slot in the app, show up, and maybe get processed for asylum or parole. It's like open table for humanitarian desperation, but this doesn't guarantee legal status. It just gets you through the door, where you're dumped into the asylum backlog or granted parole limbo. And if you miss your window, DHS now says you're expected to leave immediately. 25. As if you've got a round-trip ticket and an Airbnb waiting in Tegucigalpa. Legal-ish. Millions live in this gray zone. This shadow system is not a bug, it's a feature. Dot. Why? Because it lets politicians say they're protecting the vulnerable without granting permanence. Boost enforcement stats without overhauling laws. Manage migration flows without Congress doing anything. But for the people stuck in it, it's an endless waiting room. Dot. Paperwork purgatory. A life you can't build, but can't leave behind. Legal admissions versus the undocumented reality. 1 million legal immigrants per year, give or take. If you believe the headlines, America's border is wide open and we're being invaded. The reality? The U.S. legally admits about 1 million people per year for permanent residence. 9. That includes family-sponsored immigrants. employment-based green cards, diversity visa winners, refugees and asylees adjusting status. In FY 2023, 1,172,910 new lawful permanent residents, LPRs, were admitted. 9. But here's the kicker. This number exceeds the supposed cap on legal immigration because immediate relatives of U.S. citizens are exempt from caps. Unused visas roll over across categories. Backlogged cases get processed late. Translation? The quota system is a mess. And it's gaming its own rules to keep up. The great ghost population. 11 to 13.7 million undocumented. Meanwhile, the shadow population lives next door. Pew. 11.0 million undocumented in 2022. 18. MPI. 13.7 million by mid-2023, when you count the legally gray, TPS, DACA, parole, pending asylum, 29. Table 3. A. Estimates of the undocumented population, year, estimate, source, 2022, 11.0 million, Pew, mid-2022, 11.3 million, MPI, mid-2023, 13.7 million, MPI, updated. MPI's updated number matters. It reflects reality. People with temporary papers but zero path to permanence are still in limbo, and often lumped in with illegals in policy debates. How did they get here? Spoiler. It's not just the border. Let's kill a myth right now. Most undocumented immigrants didn't sneak across the Rio Grande. Share of new undocumented immigrants by entry type. Visa overstay, 66%. Border crossers, 34%. CMS, 2014. CMS, 2014. Visa overstays have outnumbered border crossers for years, but border walls get the spotlight. Source. Center for Migration Studies. Since 2007, the majority of new undocumented residents came legally and overstayed their visas. 31. You read that right. Visa overstays, border crossers. In 2014, 66% of new undocumented equals visa overstays. Dash. 34% equals entered without inspection, EWI, and that trend likely continued or worsened. But DHS doesn't even bother tracking overstays at land borders. All we get is air, sea data. DHS's pathetic overstay data. In FY 2023, 39 million expected air, sea departures. Dash. 399,708 suspected overstays. Final overstay rate, 1.02%. 32. Low percentage, right? Sure. But 1% of 39 million is still a small city's worth of people vanishing into the void. And this doesn't include overland visitors from Mexico, Canada. Visa waiver program entrance via land. Anyone who entered legally but violated terms later. We're flying blind on a massive part of the undocumented flow. Table 3. B. Mode of entry breakdown. Year. Visa overstays. Entered without inspection. EWI, notes 2014. Approximately 66%, approximately 34% CMS estimate, new arrivals, FY 2023. 1.02% of air, sea visitors. Unknown, DHS only tracks air, sea. Sources. CMS, 31, DHS overstay report FY 2023, 32, TLDR. You can build all the walls you want. If you're ignoring visa overstays, you're fighting half a war. Border hysteria is political theater. The real leakage is happening at consulates, airports, and immigration offices. And the people stuck in limbo? They're legal enough to pay taxes, but not legal enough to get on with their lives. The real immigrant profile. Who's actually here? Forget the slogans. Let's look at the foreign-born population like adults. U.S. foreign-born population by legal status, 2022, naturalized citizens, 49%. Green card holders, 24%. Temporary status, 4%. Unauthorized, 23%. Source, Pew Research Center, 2022 American Community Survey. Estimated breakdown of the 2022 U.S. immigrant population by legal status. Source, Pew Research. Record numbers, but still below historic highs. In 2023, 47.8 million foreign-born people lived in the U.S., 14.3% of the total population. 18. That's a record in raw numbers, but let's not lose our minds. In 1890, immigrants made up 14.8% of the population. That's right, the Ellis Island era had a higher share. So, unless your grandma was icing people off the boat, spare us the unprecedented invasion rhetoric. Citizenship. The end goal, for most, let's break it down by legal status. Pew's 2022 numbers are the clearest snapshot. 18. Table IV. A. U.S. foreign-born population by status, 2022, status. Population. Percent of foreign-born, naturalized citizens approximately 22.6 million, 49%. Lawful permanent residents, LPRs, approximately 11.1 million, 24%. Temporary legal residents, e.g., students, workers, approximately 1.8 million, 4%. Unauthorized immigrants, approximately 10.6 million, 23%. Source. Pew Research Center Analysis of 2022 American Community Survey Data, 18, translation? Nearly 3 in 4 immigrants are here legally. Half are full-fledged U.S. citizens. And those here without status? Many have been here for over a decade, are raising U.S. citizen children, and pay taxes, without access to most benefits. The legally fragile. TPS, DACA, parole. Now, here's the blurry middle. People who are protected from deportation, allowed to work, but have no path to permanent legal status. We're talking approximately 595,000 DACA recipients. 19. Approximately 650,000 TPS holders. 18. Approximately 1.7 million pending asylum cases in backlog. 19. We've created a shadow cast of semi-legal people we let clean our homes, drive our Ubers, care for our kids, then hang legal purgatory over their heads like a sword. DHS numbers, spoiler. Not so precise, DHS tracks lawful permanent residents, LPRs, and naturalizations, but good luck finding up-to-date totals on how many people are on humanitarian parole. How many still have valid visas after overstaying work authorization? Who's slipped into out of status limbo after losing employment or student status? Why? Because the system is held together by spreadsheets, duct tape, and wishful thinking. Dot. Legal-ish does not equal secure. Even folks with documents or one job loss, denied renewal, or USCIS backlog away from slipping through the cracks. A DACA recipient misses a renewal? Game over. A TPS holder's designation ends? Deportable. An asylum seeker denied after 7 years of waiting? Gone. America loves legal immigration until it actually meets the people living in its paperwork purgatory. TLDR? Nearly half of all immigrants are full U.S. citizens. Another quarter are green card holders. And roughly a quarter are undocumented, liminal, or legal-ish, but not secure. This isn't a foreign horde. It's your coworkers, neighbors, babysitters, and bosses. They're already here. They've been here. And pretending otherwise isn't just delusional, it's destructive. Absolutely. Let's rip off the band-aid and answer the question your favorite pundits never ask. Why the hell are people coming here without papers in the first place? Why unauthorized migration happens? It's not a mystery. You hear it every election cycle. Why don't they come legally? Because the system's rigged, not by some globalist conspiracy. By decades of policy written by people who wanted the labor, not the citizens. Dot. Let's unpack the bait and switch. Legal pathways are a pipe dream for most. Here's what coming legally actually requires: family sponsorship. Hope you have a U.S. citizen sibling and 20 years to spare if you're from Mexico or the Philippines. 9. Dot. Employer-sponsored green card? Need an advanced degree, 6 figures, and a company willing to spend $10,000 plus and wait years for paperwork. That's assuming you're not from India, then it's decades. 10. Dot. Refugee resettlement? Only available outside the U.S. You can't be here already. You'll also need a UN referral, a lottery win, and a vetting process more intense than a CIA background check. 14. Dot. Asylum? You have to be on U.S. soil or at a port of entry to even apply. 5. Dot. Then wait in limbo for years, praying your claim fits one of 5 narrow legal grounds, not including poverty, gang violence, or climate collapse. 15. Dot. Tourist visa? Must prove you have no intent to stay. Stable income, and strong ties to your home country, none of which you have if your government collapsed or your cousin was just murdered. Legal immigration is like a nightclub bouncer telling you to wait in line while they wave their buddies through the side door. You don't just get in line. if there's no line for you. There is no line for most of the world. No visa, no channel, no path. Want to immigrate legally? US family sponsor? Job offer plus degree? Wait 5 to 20 years. Company pays $10,000 plus. Still waiting? Try diversity lottery. Didn't win? Sorry. Consider border crossing. What, just get in line, actually looks like. Spoiler. There is no line. Source. CRS. So when your country collapses, and we'll get to why that happens next, you either 1. Wait for a miracle. 2. Pay a coyote. 3. Risk your life. Millions pick option 3. Because the odds here, even undocumented, beat certain hell. At home. Scenario. Your move. Outcome. You're a 24-year-old Haitian with no passport. Apply for parole on CBP1. App crashes. Try again next month. You're a Venezuelan engineer with no US ties. Apply for asylum. 7-year waitlist. Hope your case fits a category. You're fleeing gang threats in Honduras. Request refugee status. Can't do that here. Try a UN camp. Good luck. You're a US citizen's adult sibling from the Philippines. Apply through family sponsorship. Check back in 2039. You're rich and from Canada. Buy a visa. Welcome to America. U.S. immigration. More Kafka than Ellis Island. You don't need luck. You need money, connections, or a miracle. Sources. USCIS. MPI. Humanitarian parole equals bureaucratic Hunger Games. Let's say you're Cuban, Haitian, Nicaraguan, or Venezuelan. The Biden administration might let you in under humanitarian parole, if you have a valid passport. Apply from outside the U.S. Secure a U.S. sponsor. Pass background checks. Wait your turn. Avoid glitches on the CBP1 app. 24. Guess what? Most people fleeing gang control in Port-au-Prince don't have internet. A valid passport. A fluent English-speaking U.S. sponsor with tax returns handy. It's Hunger Games meets Kafka. Bottom line? Legal migration is for the lucky and the rich. If you're white, educated, wealthy, from a country with a low visa backlog, then the system might work for you. If you're poor, from the global south, desperate, or just born in the wrong country, you get the border wall, the detention bed, or the asylum backlog from hell. You got it. Time to follow the money and the missiles. Executive failure. Every president built this crisis. Let's kill the myth that immigration policy is just a victim of gridlock. It's not. Every president since Reagan has worsened the mess by choice. Some cloaked it in compassion, others weaponized it in plain sight. But every one of them handed off a more chaotic, punitive, and broken system than they inherited. Some highlights? Dash. Reagan. Promised amnesty, delivered confusion. Dash. Clinton. Criminalized overstay and asylum. Dash. Bush Jr. Nationalized immigration into DHS hell. Dash. Obama. Gave us DACA and record deportations. Dash. Trump. Broke it on purpose. Dash. Biden. Rebranded cruelty as tech-savvy control. Dash. Trump 2.0. Now doing it all again, just faster. And the damage is cumulative. This isn't partisan. It's a timeline of deliberate sabotage. 1986. Reagan signs IRCA, amnesty for millions, but no fix for future flows. Employer sanctions added, enforcement weak. 1996. Clinton signs IIRIRA, expanding deportable offenses and 3/10-year bans for overstays. 7. 2002. Bush Jr. creates DHS, folding immigration into national security. Legal entry becomes a security clearance test. 3. 2012. Obama launches DACA, also deports 3 million people, many with U.S. citizen kids. 19. 2017 to 2021. Trump separates families, slashes refugee resettlement, guts asylum, and ramps up ICE raids. 23. 2021 to 2024. Biden ends Title 42, but replaces it with CBP1. Digital border control plus parole with no permanence. 24, 25. 2025. Trump 2.0 starts with ICE raids, executive mass removals, and legal defiance of court orders. 23. Each admin kicked the can. Each one called it reform. And each one tightened the screws. Crisis, chaos, and culpability. Why they're fleeing? Let's stop pretending this is some cosmic mystery. People don't risk their lives in the Darien Gap for fun. They're not hiking 2,000 miles with toddlers because they hate our laws. Typical temporary protected status, TPS, cycle. Initial grant, renewal, still waiting. TPS offers temporary safety, but no permanent future. Many recipients have been here over 20 years. Source, MPI. They're running from fire. And spoiler, we helped light it. Haiti. Decades of interventions, zero stability. Haiti isn't a failed state. It's a systematically sabotaged one. In 1994, the U.S. sent in 20,000 troops to restore President Aristide, then later withdrew support when he dared raise the minimum wage and confront elite interests. 3.3. After the 2010 earthquake, billions in foreign aid flowed in. The Red Cross raised $500 million and built 6 houses. 34. The U.S.-backed President Jovenel Moïse, even as he ruled by decree, delayed elections and oversaw worsening repression. His 2021 assassination created a power vacuum now filled by heavily armed gangs, not public officials. 35. Today, Haitians flee cities where the police have fled, and gangs run the ports and airports. Kidnappings, rape, and arson are part of daily life. 25. 31. The state is missing, and the U.S., still backing a transitional presidential council, so unpopular it's debating itself in circles while the country burns. 35. Venezuela. Sanctions, starvation, and a collapsing state. Yes, Maduro is a corrupt authoritarian. Yes, Chavismo helped wreck the economy. But let's not whitewash our role. U.S. oil sanctions in 2019, on top of 2017 financial restrictions, gutted Venezuela's last revenue source, triggering further collapse. 54.13. Imports of food and medicine plummeted. Hospitals shut down. Infant mortality soared. Measles and malaria made a comeback. 10.14. As of 2024, over 7.7 million Venezuelans had fled, the biggest refugee crisis in the Americas, dwarfing anything at the U.S.-Mexico border. 13.1990, 2000, 2010, 2015, 2020, 2022, 2023, 2024, Haitian migration trend, Venezuelan migration trend 0M, 2M, 4M, 6M, 8M, estimated cumulative migration from Haiti and Venezuela, 1990 to 2024. Source, UNHCR, IOM, maximum pressure, didn't topple Maduro. It crushed the people he ruled. U.S. policy. The arsonist who shows up with a hose. Haitians and Venezuelans aren't coming because Biden invited them or because Trump wasn't tough enough. They're coming because their country's disintegrated, and Washington helped push them off the cliff. Then, instead of offering real refuge, we hand them TPS that expires every 18 months like a library book. 3.23. Parole programs that require internet access and paperwork most don't have. 3. An asylum backlog stretching into 2028-23. And when that doesn't work, we toss them on a deportation flight. It's like blaming a house fire victim for not using the front door. The migration myth machine. Lies, distractions, and border theater. Turn on cable news and you'd think the U.S.-Mexico border is under siege by a Venezuelan invasion squad and a Haitian narco army. Tucker screams about open borders, MSNBC mumbles about humanitarian pathways, and both sides manage to ignore the part where U.S. policy helped cause the damn crisis. Let's unpack the myths, then torch them. Myth number one. They're just coming for freebies. If you think crossing jungles, dodging cartels, and risking death for a $15 dishwashing job is some get-rich-quick scheme, congratulations, you've never met a refugee. Studies show that migrants from Venezuela and Haiti overwhelmingly cite violence, hunger, and persecution as reasons for leaving, not welfare handouts. 13.31. Venezuelan migrants are disproportionately skilled professionals. Doctors, teachers, engineers, now delivering Uber Eats in Bogota or New York. 48. These aren't opportunists, they're survivors. Myth number two. Sanctions don't affect migration. Tell that to the millions who fled after Venezuela's oil income tanked post-2017. Yes, Venezuela was in free fall before sanctions. No, sanctions didn't start the fire. But when the U.S. cut off oil revenue in 2019, it was like slashing the last lifeline on a sinking ship. 5413. Imports collapsed, food and medicine disappeared, malaria surged, so did migration. 10. Some economists still try to argue that fewer sanctions mean more migration, because people can now afford to flee. 74. It's a clever theory. It's also been debunked. 72. Bottom line. Sanctions choke economies. When an economy dies, people leave. Ask Cuba. Ask Iran. Ask history. Myth number 3. The border is open. If by open, you mean thousands deported and locked up daily, then sure, border apprehensions of Haitians and Venezuelans have surged, but so have expulsions, removals, and detentions. 323. Title 42 turned back over 2 million people during the pandemic, including families and asylum seekers. Even after it ended, new asylum rules require migrants to first apply in a third country, many of which are less safe than the ones they fled. 23. U.S. border apprehensions versus removals, FY2019-FY2023-859K 260K 2019 458K 185K 2020 1.66M 338K 2021 2.2M 360K 2022 2.06M 470K 2023 Apprehensions, removals, the border isn't open. It's overcrowded, over-policed, and still tossing out hundreds of thousands. Source, DHS Immigration Statistics. Meanwhile, parole programs require a U.S. sponsor, internet access, and the patience of a DMV line from hell. And TPS? Only if you were already here. This isn't an open border. It's a bureaucratic meat grinder. We built this crisis, now we're panicking about the smoke. Here's the truth no one on Capitol Hill wants to say out loud. We helped create the very migrant crisis we're now trying to solve. Decades of foreign policy built on regime change fantasies, disaster capitalism, and performative humanitarianism have turned entire nations into exodus zones. Then we act shocked when people show up at our door, bloodied, broken, and still clutching hope. Let's recap. We backed coups and corrupt elites in Haiti, then abandoned the country after the cameras left. We poured billions into NGOs while the Haitian state withered. We sanctioned Venezuela into starvation, hoping to unseat Maduro, and instead helped trigger one of the largest refugee crises on Earth. Then we responded by tightening the border, slapping up new asylum restrictions, and exporting our crisis to Mexico and the rest of Latin America, 1994. U.S. reinstates President Aristide in Haiti, then drops support when he challenges elites. 2010. Haiti earthquake. Red Cross raises $500 million, builds 6 houses. Billions in aid vanish. 2017. U.S. imposes financial sanctions on Venezuela. Inflation explodes. Food imports collapse. 2019. Oil sanctions slam Venezuela. Millions begin fleeing. Economy goes dark. 2021. Haitian President Moïse assassinated. U.S. backs a transitional council as gangs take over. Foreign policy timeline. Intervene, destabilize, deny responsibility. Then panic when the fallout shows up at your border. Sources. Crisis group. GAO. None of this is accidental. It's policy. And now, instead of asking why so many are fleeing, we debate how to make it harder for them to get in. As if migration is the disease, not the symptom. If you burn down your neighbor's house, you don't get to complain when they knock on your door for shelter. And yet, here we are. So the question isn't, why are they coming? The question is, how long are we going to pretend we didn't light the match?